5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
The Culture Map Tastemaker Awards are back, celebrating the top talent in Houston's restaurant and bar communities. Join us July 22nd at Silver Street Studios for our signature in-person tasting events and award ceremony. Come celebrate all of the nominees like Restaurant of the Year, Bar of the Year, Best Neighborhood Restaurant, and more. We'll unveil the 2021 winners, and you'll sample bites and sip specialty drinks along the way. Get your VIP and general admission tickets now at houston.culturemaptastemakers.com, houston.culturemaptastemakers.com.
Always a fun event, by the way. Always a fun event. Dell, just a little quick, little subtle shout out to the Atlanta Hawks there, is what he was doing there, telling you to play the Hawks in game one against the Bucks.
Well, I mean, the first part is correct, but I don't know. I didn't say go play the Hawks in game one.
That's what you're basically saying.
Get Hawks game seven, have less rest than the Bucks going on the road. I'm not sure about that one.
I like the remix of that song better than the original. You brought this up before we went to a break.
Yeah.
First openly gay player in the NFL, Carl Nassib. Defensive end for the Raiders, formerly played for the Cleveland Browns, was a Penn State alum, wrote him up. That was the very first year I did my write-ups, or one of the first 2 years I did 16. My write-ups. I wrote up Carl Nassib. I was reflecting upon this, and my wife and I were talking about it a little bit, because I remember when we talked about when, was it Jason Collins, who... The big to-do about Tim Hardaway saying he never wanted to play with a gay player when Jason Collins came out after he was done playing the sport. And, you know, Tim Hardaway, I remember saying I would never play with a gay teammate. I remember us talking about that. This topic has come up at different times over the years. Not a ton, but at different times. And, you know, to see how relatively quickly – things have changed, and as someone with gay friends, Michael Sam was a monster deal because that was headed into the draft. Now he was undrafted, but he was undrafted because the tape wasn't nearly as good as the statistics were, and he didn't make an NFL team. I definitely do not believe he didn't make the Rams because he was gay as an undrafted free agent. But Carl Nassib is a rotational player who does have starts under his belt, who had like five starts last year. He's the first player in football who is openly gay. I would have said 10 years ago, 10 to 12 years ago, I would not have thought that we would see an openly gay football player while we were doing radio, while his career was going on. Then, over the last 5 years, I kind of figured, yeah, that is going to come. Because a college football, beside Michael Sam, there's a player in this year's draft from Kansas State who is openly gay, who announced he was, you don't even know it probably. Mm-mm. There's a tackle who I looked at, well, I didn't actually write him, it just wasn't good enough. But he announced he was gay to his teammates a few years back, and they had no problem with it. Younger players now don't have the same hang-ups as some of the players, you know, from the previous generations. It's not as big a deal to them. And so it's going to be a more welcoming. It'll depend on some of the locker rooms, but I think for the most part, it's going to be a more welcoming culture in the locker room. And for Carl Nassib to come out, this is a big deal because you are going to see people who have previously been in the closet in different sports. I do think they will come out. I think this will end up being a big deal because it is going to open the door for other people to come out and not hide who they are. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to be a smooth ride for everybody, because I do think you're still going to run into some locker rooms or players in locker rooms where there are issues. I think we will hear stories about fans, some fans behaving badly. But I think for the most part, this is about as safe a space for an openly gay athlete to come out in that we've ever seen from a standpoint of gay rights. The general mainstream is much, much more accepting in years past. And I don't think it's going to be a major deal. I don't think Carl Nassib is going to. I understand why it's a major deal. Don't get me wrong if anyone's looking to be upset or outraged. But I don't think this is going to turn into something that is like hugely controversial. I don't think it is anything that's controversial.
No, but it is going to. It is. There are going to be questions in the locker room. And it is. I don't want to say certainly not a just. This is not a distraction. It's actually a historical, which makes it. Media, which makes it newsworthy, which makes it that teammates will be asked about it and teammates will have to respond to it. That's the only thing. Listen, Carl Nassib has been a pretty good football player. He had 12 and a half sacks in 2 years at Tampa.
That's where he kind of rejuvenated his career.
He would have gotten $54 million here if he had 12 and a half sacks in 2 years. So, if he was a Houston Texan, he'd be a rich, rich, rich man. And after that, after six and a half sacks and six sacks, they let him go, and he went to the Raiders last year, 2.5 sacks. It'll be interesting to see whether or not, you know what. See, this is the problem with doing that is there's always the question, and it's I'm not being insensitive. Is are you worth it? So it is going to be a lot of questions for the team. It's going to be for a lot of his teammates, and with just two and a half sacks, they're going to say, okay, is all of this fuss that is happening now actually going to be
what's the fuss,
something?
Though? It's a positive. It's not fake fuss like with Tim Tebow. That's where you ask the question, like, why are we dealing? This guy's not even. Why are we? Carl Nassib has been a rotational defensive end, who is a legitimate backup to what I would call a 6'1" player, a good backup. Can be a slightly below average starter if you need him to be a starter. I think that's who he is.
Well, I'm playing devil's advocate.
Okay.
So there might be guys in the locker room that are still uncomfortable. I mean, you say this isn't accepting, but this is a pro football locker room, and you're going to have some guys that are going to be uncomfortable with it. Whether you like that or not, or whatever, there are going to be guys.
No, I don't think it's going to end up being that big a deal.
No, it is media-wise. It is going to be a big deal because there is going to be a media crush on it. I mean, there was with Michael Sam, and there will be.
How long though? Because he does not have. He's not a quarterback. He's not the team leader. I think he's the first though. He's the perfect player because I don't think there's going to be a very long media crush for him. But yeah, he is the.
He's the first.
We understand he's not the first to ever come out in sports, but he is the first while his career in the NFL. Michael Sam did it before the draft, which is, you know, that was a pretty big deal to do that before the draft. With Carl Nassib, I don't think, and once again, I think you need to be on the right team and maybe even the right city, but I don't think it's going to, I really think that we overplay and overstate how the blowback that somebody's going to have. I don't think it's going to be that big a deal at all.
I don't know. We'll see. What the media is going to be
because
like.
Because you're going to be targeted. If you blow him back and you're a player and your name gets out, you will be targeted.
Absolutely. Now, see, and now there's eggshells. The whole thing, there are repercussions for a lot of things here. One of them is now, are the Vegas Raiders in a tough position because just like the Rams were, if they have to cut him, if they don't feel like he's going to be a good enough football player, now are there going to be repercussions to the Rams? Secondly, does that save his job more, or the quote-unquote controversy or the hubbub that he brings to the table does that hurt his chances of making the team more? It'll be an interesting – it'll be very interesting to see how this thing plays out. And then if he does get cut, does another team want to bring him on? And, you know, even if they need a defensive end, because they might not want all the fuss that goes along with it.
Isn't that a problem, though, if you're asking yourself, do you want to bring it? It should be a football decision.
Well, anytime.
If it's not, you're not doing your job.
Anytime you blaze a trail, there are consequences.
We've seen it happen with Colin Kaepernick. This should not cost. You already saw it happen to one guy, really, if you think about it unfairly. But I get it. That should not happen to a second
guy.
Because
happened there. All
he did was tell you, hey, this is who I am. He's not rocking the boat in the NFL. He's just telling you, this is who I am.
Yeah.
In society, there's openly gay. There's plenty of openly gay people who have come out of the closet. There's plenty of rights for gay marriages and et cetera, et cetera. I also think the position he's in terms of he's a backup defensive end who's a quality player, a solid player, but he's not a guy that you're going to have, you know, pay a long-term contract to. He's solid. He'd be good for the Texans, but he's one of those guys who'd be here 2 to 3 years, and then he'd be gone. That's who he is. It's not going to change one way or another. Now, you did bring up some good points in terms of, you know, I could see a team saying, hey, are we going to get any pushback? Because we didn't think he was very good in camp this year.
He only had 2.5 sacks last year.
But he's also wasn't really in position to be. They didn't rush him as much either. So you have to look at that, too. Nassib's fine. He's fine. He's a decent player. He's not somebody who should be out of the league. It's not like he's going to stay in the league because he's gay. No, I mean he's a big dude. Like he's 6'7". He's a 5 technique type of guy who has good size. He's okay. He's all right.
I'll give you the numbers as far as financially. After this season, he has a cap hit for 2022, a cap hit of 9.1. A dead cap of 4.6. So the Raiders would save quite a bit of money if they cut him.
Reality is he'd be on the chopping block most years.
Well, think about the confluence of these events. Let's say Deshaun doesn't play this year, but he's exemplus, come off, you're ready to go for 2022. The stories that will surround the NFL if Nassib gets cut and he doesn't have a suitor while the entire NFL is looking for this it's trying to acquire this alleged person who's abused women.
Stop with your narratives, because
you don't think it'll happen?
That sounds like something that will happen in the future.
Oh, don't worry.
It will happen if it comes to be.
Oh, don't worry. There will be Christine Brennan will definitely write an article about this, of the NFL culture. There is no question that would happen, and that will be a narrative. That Deshaun Watson is working and Carl Nassib isn't, if that were to happen.
And not just working, one of them is highly sought after,
right,
despite his issues, while Carl Nassib, you know, just got cut and at 29 could probably be on another roster. It's leading up for the NFL going, hey, Raiders, don't cut him. Let him stay on the roster.
You know, that is – this might be job security, while it might –
I don't think he did it on purpose.
I don't think he did it for that reason either. But it may be, while it would have been a job killer 10 years ago, it might be job security today. Or it might go the other way. Are you worth it? 813 ESPN 97.5. Craig DeSerf is worth it.
Yeah, he's always been worth it. And Craig DeSerf is the guy who has... I've got a relationship with Craig for about 2 decades where I learned about him as a car dealer, started shopping through him when he was selling the Cadillacs, and we were speaking for him for those vehicles. And man, the guy himself couldn't be a better person. And he surrounds himself everywhere he's been. It's only been 2 places with top notch people. And Rick Drenner is the guy that I want to talk about today. Rick Drenner is the guy who is his, I don't know if he's technically the general sales manager. He's the head honcho there right under Craig. And I know that Rick goes out of his way to make sure that all the listeners who come in, and really anyone who comes in, that you're taking care of. He tells me when listeners come in and that you mention it. He wants to make sure that I know that they're taking care of people when it comes to trading in values and finding the best programs for you, which means savings off of MSRP or maybe a financing deal or maybe when an awesome lease comes available that they want you to know about. And that's why I love telling people about Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, because I know that they are going to make me look good with the way that they handle their customer service, their price points, their their selection, everything about what they do is top-notch. And when you're looking for a vehicle, there's a reason why so many players like Carlos Correa and Altuve and Bracamonte and Joe Smith and so many of the guys who have been Houston Astros have gone and gotten vehicles for them because they just do it the right way. Go to LanceZCars.com and you can start the car buying experience and find out more about Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, I mean, Odorizzi is getting better. He's finding his groove. And, you know, his pitch count got kind of high in the fifth. We were trying to take him to the sixth and then use Javier for two and then... in the rest of the game with Belak, hopefully. I mean, it started out as planned, but Javier threw the ball great. I mean, he threw the ball excellent. And, you know, that's why we only took him two innings, so he can be available probably day after tomorrow at the earliest and for sure in 2 days. So, yeah, I mean, those guys were on it. Our offense was good. Everything was good, except everything was going great until the rain delay.
Yeah, that was
double
was
rain delays, early and late,
and late. And it's a 10-0 game. Just call it. What are they doing?
Give us the no-hitter.
It's baseball. Nobody cares. Nobody. Stop.
Out after seven.
Yeah. I mean, just that's all. It's the game. Oh, we can play 7-inning doubleheaders, but we can't play rain delay 8-10-0 games. Come on. And give us a no-hitter. If we're forced to put Belak in, then what? You ruined everything. Nice job, Rain. And Angel Hernandez. By the way, Angel Hernandez is just the worst. How about that every other inning or so, as the pitcher's walking off the mound, you get checked by the umpires.
Yeah, I like it.
Your hat that's and what your it looked glove like. Gets checked.
That's what it looked like. It was they're starting the process.
No, that's what it was.
Yeah, well, that's they're starting the process now.
Yeah. They said Monday we start. I didn't know it was going to be. I thought they would just be looking to see if the – but they're actually, as you're walking off the field,
yeah, you can't
they look
sneak
at
it.
Your glove and your hat.
You can't sneak it.
No. Well, the catcher can.
Now, Jake – yeah, but once again, that's kind of hard for the grip is on your fingers. That's where the grip is. I don't think a catcher can. You're talking about a ball that goes out.
Yeah, on the ball, throw it back to him, and he rubs it up, and he's got some.
Yeah, but it's not a. I don't know. I think that's going to be pretty hard because the pitcher needs to go to it frequently. Boom, 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 to maintain it because you can't have it all over. It's going to be too slippery. That's the exact opposite of what you want. You want, or it'll be too sticky. You want the perfect amount of grip. So. I think you're going to see, and they can measure with spin rates. Spin rates are going to be the things that start to alert teams too.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fake a spin rate.
No.
If your spin rate goes from up to down, you're probably using. If it goes back up again, that alerts Major League Baseball that okay, we got to see what's going on here.
Spin rate is down. There's no question. It's already been they've looked into it, and as a matter of fact, I looked at some stats yesterday. It's not significantly down, but it is down. And it is making a difference. The Astros are scoring 10 runs a game now.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And as everybody, the Astros are probably cheating again because they're hitting and they're ruining people's lives and jobs and they're cheating again. How about you guys aren't able to cheat anymore?
Yeah.
How about all your spinner, all your stick'em and all your spider tack that you were using? Maybe that's why you're getting your asses rocked now. Maybe that's why the White Sox. How do the Astros get so many runs against a great team like... So White Sox, maybe the White Sox aren't spin rating you now.
Yeah.
Maybe that. Maybe that's that, why cheaters. Those great white. Maybe Lance Lynn coming out of nowhere this year. Maybe there's a reason for that too.
Mm-hmm.
You ever thought, how come no one ever says that? It's kind of like when we used to only say steroids are just for hitters. There's no way a pitcher could be using steroids. And Daryl Aaron was like, okay, sounds good. Sounds good.
Let's get Kirby in here. Let's talk about Carl Nassib. What do you say, Kirby?
Hey, good morning.
How you doing, pal?
What's up, Curb?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good. Hey, I follow sports a lot, and you know, just looking at the female sports and the number of female athletes that are openly gay, the numbers to me would say that there are just as many male athletes that are gay.
I think that's accurate.
Right. I
or maybe in the like I don't know about percentage wise, but you know, yeah, I think
female
numbers,
athletes.
It has to be.
Yeah, I don't know.
I doubt
the percentage is the same, Kirby. But
I doubt the percentage.
But he said number of.
How would it not be the same?
He maybe, said number of.
I would say the reason why it might not be
participatory
might be the same is because those the sports in the, on the male side are, seem less open to gay athletes being a part of it. Like it may not be as accepting. They may feel less accepted.
Well, even early on in careers.
Yeah, even growing up, like.
And, I feel like
I feel like you can get yourself fired with this answer.
Yeah, there is that's difficult to answer because I think the accepting word that you're using there, Dell, it is much more acceptable for females whether you like it or not. Guys, it's been always a guy dominated testosterone. Women driven, it's not nearly as accepting for the gay community, and so maybe the gay community will shy away from athletics.
But to think that there are gay players who are going to
there
come
are
out,
gay players.
Like there's a player at U of H who I know during our interns days who he didn't come out, but everyone kind of knew he was, and that was like in the 80s. Our intern's dad was a quarterback for U of H back in the day. That was in the 80s, and it was known, and it wasn't like a big deal wasn't made of it. There have been Oilers who we found out, and, you know, you suspect, you hear the stories about all that stuff. Like, I'm not going to out anybody, but I'm saying there have been NFL people will tell you, and players, former players will tell you, they knew different players were gay. They either suspected or they knew, and the players either came out afterwards or they just kind of knew, and it just wasn't talked about at the time. So, yeah, there's a lot of closeted players. I don't know about a lot, but there's definitely closeted players in all the major sports for sure. 100%. And some are going to choose never to come out and some will come out after they're done. But I do think you're going to see more come out in all the sports now. Now that Nassib did it and he's playing and is provided he doesn't take a bunch of crap. Here's a coach in the NFL who happens to be listening to us right now who says there are a lot of gay players in the NFL or in sports.
Mm-hmm.
And he's coaching
mm-hmm.
for an NFL team. So that should tell you something. I don't think it's a curve. Do you think it's a big deal? I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think it's a big deal.
I don't think it's a big deal at all. I think it's a part of our society. It's Pride Month. You go to the Astros game. They got a day. And, you know, I went to that game. I didn't go because of that. I was just happened to buy tickets and that was going on, but I'm surprised that it's taken this long for a man to come out with Michael Sam and you know the way that went, and then there was another guy that played for the Vikings that came out afterwards,
the defensive
but
lineman.
Other than that I just think that the male sports are so far behind when it comes to this that there is absolutely no way. I mean, it is so accepted amongst the women that I almost feel like there's more gay women in female sports than there are heterosexual.
You know, it's funny.
It just seems.
Have you watched? Have you watched? We appreciate it, Kirby. Are you watching the Women's College World Series? Softball?
I saw some of it.
Yeah, some of it. Do you know what the ribbons signify?
In the hair?
In the hair.
Whether you're straight or
whether you're straight. That you're straight.
Is that real?
I think it is. I think it's been going on for a long time, whether or not it still is. But I think the ribbon says I'm straight and the non-ribbon that
and
you're
not. There's not some friction by... it will just seem like an odd thing. You need to announce
that you are or aren't.
What your sexuality is.
Yeah.
Huh.
I, I, it, you know, whether or not it's still it definitely began as a real thing. Whether or not it still is, I don't know. But
here's the info I was telling you earlier. Scott France, who came out in the draft, it was his last year this year. But Scott France, and in 2017, he told his team, like, he came out as openly gay in 17. He just finished his college football this year. The entire time that he was, I wanted to say, I said Kentucky. I'm not sure where. He's Kansas State. I'm sorry. Yeah. Kansas State. Scott France came out. And then Mike King Johnson.
Mike King Johnson was another one. Here's the deal, though, with this, that Carl Nassib is a trailblazer. He is going to attract a lot of media attention.
Did you know that there was an openly gay player for in the military now, for Air Force Academy? I never even heard this. In 2018, Bradley Kim of Air Force Academy came out as gay, thus become the first openly gay football player to play for a military academy.
No.
Didn't know about it. And it was quite, like I said, it has not been, when people say, when you say it's not a big deal, there's going to be a lot of people who get offended, like, this is a monster. No, I get the importance. What I'm telling you is that I don't think
it's not going to be a positive big deal way, in the locker room.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to kill their thrills or chances. I don't think that's going to be the case.
But it'll be interesting, though, with a guy who's got a $9 million cap that had 2.5 sacks, that, and his dead cap is $5 million less. It'll be interesting to see how the Raiders react to this.
In real life, that's a potential cap casualty.
Yeah.
In real life, you're making that much. You're going to be 28 years old. In real life, you say, we can save that much. Do we have the cap space? And, yeah, I still think you need, out of respect for the player, if he's a cap casualty, you got to give him a cap. You don't want to treat them differently because they're gay in a positive way either. If you're a cap casualty, I'm sorry about it, Ryan. We're going to support you all we can.
Well, the cynic in me says that Carl Nassib made a business decision yesterday.
You really think that was it?
John always has this.
Yeah, I don't think that's
it. That was a business.
I think it's pride.
It might have been a business decision. He said, I had 2.5 sacks. I only started 5 games. I got 9 million.
That is a little cynical of you.
Well, it could be. It might. I don't know.
I don't know either, but.
Let's get Dennis in here. Hey, Dennis, what you think?
Hey, yeah, man, I heard the earlier caller, and it is nowhere near that number. It's just more acceptable for women. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It's just more acceptable. You have women kiss each other in public all the time. It's no issue. So it just becomes more acceptable. I dated a girl who played softball, and she basically told me the whole team was bisexual.
Yeah, it's different. It's different from sport to sport. I don't think people can dance around it if they want to, but there's a lot of openly gay players in the WNBA, for example, and it's not. I mean, they had Pride Month. It's only recently that major sports were acknowledging Pride Month. This was not something that has been openly acknowledged and celebrated in major sports. And I remember the comments did it years ago, I believe. Certainly, the WNBA has, but that is not to say that there are not going to be a lot more players at some point coming out. I forgot about Ryan Russell. Remember him when he came out of Purdue? You might not. He wasn't a major factor. He played for the Cowboys for a few years. He's another one of those 6'5", 285-pound defensive ends like Nassib. He came out as bisexual in an article in 2019 in ESPN. He was a free agent at the time. And that's kind of one of those things where, okay, I'm going to do this now, maybe out of sports, but I want to do it. Maybe he always wanted to do it. I'm not being cynical at all.
Ezra Tuolo came out after.
This is the first NFL player he's in the middle of.
He used to come over. I think I told you the story. Ezra, well, I lived in Green Bay. Me and a couple other guys had a house, and Ezra used to come over, and he'd come over in his, it's not called a skirt. What is it, Hawaiian? I don't know what it's called. But he would walk around, and he would cook. And I had him on my sports show singing. He was an unbelievable singer. And then a few years later, he came out that he was gay and was like, wow, we didn't see that. He was cooking in a skirt and he was singing and we didn't see
it. Well, you just said they don't call it a skirt.
No, whatever it is. Whatever
what
it is.
What is it? Well, I remember it's always called a grass skirt.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I remember what it was called. like on
not a
on
grass skirt like on Gilligan's the, like Island, the hula dancers.
Yeah, on Gilligan's Island, that's what it was called.
No,
I think.
I don't think that was. It wasn't like that though. It was a little different.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
8:30 ESPN.
Well, it's alleged. It looked like it's called a sarong. Maybe?
A sarong. Okay. Yeah. A sarapi? A sarong?
No, sarong is it? Yeah, maybe it is.
Maybe it is. Maybe it is. And then again, maybe it's not. No one knows. No one can know for sure. It's 8:30, bottom of the hour. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776.
Do you ever wonder what ESPN 97.5 hosts talk about during the breaks? Well, now we have your f***ing answer.
I don't know why you got to do it with the FM. All you got to do is say earmuffs.
Just go to twitch.tv/ESPN975 for exclusive uncensored content.
Can you earmuff it for me?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
8:34 now. Wow. 8:34 on ESPN. Time just flies. I don't know if you guys... Yeah, have you ever heard that before? I'm the first one, I think, said that.
It's not unique to you.
Time flies.
Yeah. Actually, time just moves at the same
time. No, we're having fun.
It always
we got
moves.
Some. We got some callers.
Are you not having fun?
I mean, I can have more fun someplace else.
Yeah.
You can have more fun taking a nap.
Yeah.
How about that'll the rain? But, dude, it was loud
throughout
last
the time
night.
Throughout the time I slept, I woke up. There's flooding on Richmond. I had to take a different way. Just to get out of my neighborhood was a little precarious. But, yeah, good luck to everyone driving around right now. My guess is it's receded. I don't think there's been rain since we got off. Before we get to the phone lines, a couple quick notes. Vikings rookie defensive tackle Jalen Twyman is expected to make a full recovery after being shot four times. Drew Rosenhaus told ESPN's Adam Schefter, Twyman's gunshot wounds were described by Rosenhaus as superficial exit wounds that were sustained inside a vehicle while visiting his aunt in Washington. He had negative x-rays and will not need surgery. Twyman was simply, quote, at the wrong place, wrong time. I think anytime you're shot, it's wrong place, wrong time, automatically. You don't want to be at that place at that particular time.
No.
But he's saying that he was not part of anything he shouldn't be part of. There really are no, they're not, there's not really any information about that. A little more serious to me is the story about Frank Clark. This is a guy who's kind of a card-carrying bad person, frankly, out of college. When I read all the reports and everything when I was doing my character research on him coming out of Michigan, Frank Clark, I don't think, is a very nice person. He was arrested on domestic violence charges back in 2014, beat up a girl's brother who was trying to stop this stuff from happening to his sister. They just – a lot of stuff happened, and – I remember he missed the combine because of this. He was not allowed to be at the combine, and there was a lot of issues. And then he was drafted, I thought surprisingly, in the second round by Seattle. They took him in the second round, and then the Chiefs obviously traded, I want to say, at least a first and a second, I think, for Frank Clark. Well, anyway, so he had issues in college where he was not the nicest of people. He also knocked out his teammate, Jermaine Effetti, in a fight in practice. So he's got some issues. Frank Clark was arrested in L.A. after police saw a submachine gun in his car on Monday.
An Uzi.
Clark, 28, was pulled over for vehicle violation south of downtown at about 9:20 p.m. Officers noticed a bag with an Uzi sticking out in plain sight in the car.
You'd think you'd put a jacket over it or something when you get pulled over.
Yeah.
And this is another gun charge for him, by the way. Not his first.
Oh, it's another one.
Yes.
He is booked into L.A. County Jail and released Monday afternoon on a $35,000 bond, according to County Sheriff's Jail inmate website. We're aware of the matter, which will be reviewed under the NFL's personal conduct policy. Clark's attorney said the gun belonged to Clark's bodyguard. He just happened to have his Uzi.
His bodyguard's Uzi in the front seat of his car.
Yeah, yeah.
He was holding it for him.
That happens. Yeah, yeah. He was just saying, like, let me. You know what? Oh, hey, Frank. Listen, I left. Oh my God, it's so embarrassing. I left my wallet and Uzi in there. So can you just get that back to me if you can?
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Question for the both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it'd be concerning to an NFL team that one of your frontline defensive ends feels it necessary to drive around with an Uzi in his car? Would that be concerning?
Frank Clark comes in with a submachine Uzi.
What are the odds that Frank Clark is carrying? 110%.
Understood. Carrying is one thing.
On the field, he might be carrying.
Who's he? Billy
you think
Blanks from
Frank Clark stays
Last
strapped.
Boy Scout? You think he's running around like the Last Boy Scout in that movie?
I just know Frank Clark is what we like to say has some edge to him.
Carrying is one thing. Look, Texas, we all know, you don't have to have a permit or anything to carry. Understood. But an Uzi, would that be concerning?
An Uzi is a problem. That's a problem.
Well,
NFL player most likely to be arrested with an Uzi.
Yeah, I mean,
Frank Clark is up there.
But listen, I got to say, you never know. And it is true that players can be targeted especially if they keep cash, jewelry on themselves, carjacking. I get that. They're going to be targets more than most people. It just seems like there's some star players is to JJ or Clowney, and I don't know, maybe the answer is yes. Did any of these star players have to carry Uzis with them on their person? What do you do when you think that an Uzi is necessary?
Why are you trying to take away Frank Clark's rights? Okay, why are you on his right?
That
to
was
carry?
Actually against his. He doesn't live in Texas. A and B. That was concealed firearm.
Well, no, it's still a right.
Sound like it was very concealed.
You never heard of the Second Amendment?
It didn't sound very concealed. Actually, they're hey, what's that, Frank? Is that an Uzi?
Are you going to take the come and take it sign out of Frank Clark's yard
next?
Is that what you want?
Yeah, okay. Let's get...
Is your bodyguard supposed to have the Uzi?
Un-American.
Make sure your bodyguard still has the name.
Okay, why don't you just move to Russia?
Big surprise airlines on American.
Yeah, that's Greg. Nice job, Greg.
I'm big tech.
You're more than that.
Let's get Biscuit in here. What up, Biscuit?
Hey, what's happening, fellas?
How you doing, man?
Hey, Dale, the thing about Frank Clark, he only had one clip with it, so, I wouldn't have a problem, man,
Make a point.
Well, okay. So maybe it's okay, then.
Hey, John, I heard that rumor, too, about the softball players with the ribbon, somebody told me. And I found myself, when I was watching softball, trying to check out the ones with the ribbons and the ones that didn't have them. But I asked a buddy of mine who has two daughters to play softball. I think one of them is in college actually playing it. And I asked him, was that true? And he said it wasn't. Because it just seemed like what if you forget your ribbon at home or something? Or what if you...
Well, it doesn't mean that you're automatically going to be hit on by another girl. I just think...
Much like Biscuit, I had a source who played softball. So I asked this source a question. And I quote her... That was a very popular belief when I was playing and something we joke about a lot, but not really a real thing. I know plenty of people whose choice of game day hair did not reflect their preferences, and then she went on to laugh.
But I'm almost positive that's the way it started. It may not have continued, but it was a way for girls when it started to tell that I'm straight and
what was it for to just let everyone
tell your teammates not to hit on you?
Yeah,
to tell guys in the stands that you are
it could be that could also be there's a chance that could be an old wives' tale.
Yeah,
according to the Dale, you didn't respond back with an eggplant emoji, right? To the
no,
girl?
I'm not that
okay.
guy.
I'm just making sure you were being
I told her I would credit her anonymously, and then she goes, thanks, happy to put John in his place. Ha, 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 ha.
it was
Mary.
Julia or Mary?
No, I'm not telling you. I told you. I told the person we were talking about on the show.
Mary.
So they knew about it. They already knew about it because I told them it's on the show.
All right, Biscuit, we appreciate it. Let's get Donovan in here. Hey, Donovan.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, man?
Hey, I want to look at it from this angle. What about the guy? I'm going to take it back to the locker room with this guy coming out, homosexual. Which I ain't got no problem with that. But what about the guy who's a Christian and openly Christian? And not that he has a problem with the guy. He can respect the guy, can play along with the guy. But when the media asks a question, how did you feel about that? And they just make it, I don't... necessarily agree with that lifestyle. You know, I'm a big practicing Christian, and I can always respect the guy and play with the guy. And just making that point and making that stance can cause a media frenzy, just like that, bringing that extra media attention. I'm just throwing that at you. What y'all think about that?
Well, I think that there is freedom of, you know, I think people who, I think there's such a thing as religious freedom, too. And if you have, you have a right to your opinion and to feel how you feel. And that also goes for people who are Muslim, too. I mean, there's thoughts in that religion as well. So it's not just Christians. It's going to be players who are Muslim, which is a growing number as well. So, yeah, I don't know what the question is. Like, if they say that they have an issue with it personally, not the player or any of that stuff, but they want to dress separately. I don't know. Players, teams may acquiesce and do something specifically for their religious beliefs. I think you'd be hypocritical to not to act like you're okay with some people's religious beliefs, but not other, or you're okay with certain religious beliefs. If you're going to have religious freedom and freedom of your religious beliefs, then you will, I would think a team would make accommodations for that as well. But I don't think it's going to mean that you preclude someone from playing in a league. That's definitely not going to happen. So, yeah, I could see a player saying something about that. Once again, that player will be vilified, of course, publicly, because there's not, we say there's freedom of religion, but there's not, it's gotten pretty narrow for people to openly profess certain things inside their faith. So, obviously, that's going to be something, if you're just being honest about it, that's going to have to, you're going to have to walk tightrope on that one. Yeah, that one's going to be a tricky one. We'll see. For some, it won't be tricky. For some, they'll say, no, I have no problem with this. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's not an issue.
I don't think it's going to be. Honestly, with the players, I don't think it's going to be a big issue. I think it's going to be a bigger issue with the media. They're going to make a big deal out of it. And then we're going to have to see whether or not Nassib can make the team with 2.5 sacks and a $9 million cap hit.
Yeah, I mean, that's a real football question.
That's a real football question.
And if you have balls and you're a general manager, you have to make real football decisions.
That's right. And you're going to take the heat, just like the Rams had to take the heat with Michael Sam. They had to take
the Rams made the right football decisions for their team.
Yeah, they did.
And what ended up happening was nothing.
Yeah. 845 and ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Texans Wire is the Texans page on USA Today. Here's an article. Did you see this article?
Not on Texans Wire.
Texans assistant coaches describe what working with David Culley is like.
Ooh.
You want to talk about some hard hitting here.
Yeah.
And then not making sorry, Texans Wire, but goodness gracious, what do you think these assistant coaches are going
to
say?
Well, I imagine it has to be very challenging considering what he is.
I'm going
to
tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie.
Well, none of them mentioned his habit.
Well, that's
habit.
Nice. You don't want to. He's none trying of to them recover from that.
Surprisingly, mentioned his habit.
Well, that's nice of them.
His Mexican food habit.
Says you. All I hear is junkie.
Pep Hamilton. High energy. I think more importantly, positive energy. And the players, they're working hard. Wide receiver coach Robert Prince. Coach Culley has a great reputation in this league. We actually have the same agent. So I've known Coach Culley for a while. But it's great to work with him. Tight end coach Andy Bischoff. Coach Culley is full of energy. There's energy comes up a lot with Coach Culley.
I could see that.
Yeah.
He strikes me as a fun guy.
Yeah,
I don't think you would ever.
Guy.
Yes, I don't think you would. Well, the opposite of Bill O'Brien.
That's what you get.
Yeah, I don't think you would ever not want to be in a place with David Culley unless you're like, God, man, David is always.
He's always.
I just want to watch the game. Why is David? This is Game of Thrones finale. You invited David Culley?
Yeah, he's always.
Oh my God, he's gonna talk through the whole thing.
Well, he's always sneaking off to the bathroom. We're not, and he comes back a little wired. We're not sure what's going on.
Stop, Dell.
What?
They don't have Mexican food in the bathroom.
She's not redlining nachos.
No.
James Campen, offensive line coach. He's a person I believe believes in structure and doing things the right way. Here's the problem.
See, that's an O-line coach just trying to keep it football.
Those things are kind of sometimes forgotten, in my opinion, in this sport, and he has that. It's a very easy situation. It's just, I just don't know. I would have loved some coach guy, you know, I don't think he deserves this
job. I don't know what he actually does.
What? You know what he, so far, he hasn't really impressed me.
I was listening to a podcast, and they're talking, and they were talking about teams most likely in prop bets on going 0-17. Of course, the Texans come up, and they're talking about David Culley. And the guy was like, one of the reporters was talking about him and what he heard from about him around the league. Was like, yeah, really nice guy, but no one I talked to said he, you know, he should have got that job.
Not one person thought. No. Well, no one thought he was a candidate. No one knew him. No one. I mean, a lot of people know him because he's been on. But he was not a candidate for any job ever, any head coaching job ever.
Mm-mm.
But he is exactly. When you have a defensive coach,
I think they wanted to change culture.
You fire him, you want an offensive coach. When you have an a-hole, you want the nicest guy possible.
Well, in this case, I think that's specifically one of the things they were looking for, and somebody with who was positive, yes, upbeat. And I don't know that he's going to be the guy to write the ship.
Do anything that Casario said.
David Culley or any other coach isn't going to be able to fix what's on this roster. But, you know, good for him getting that shot. Cub fan Tim says, Lance, I think the guy who just called in was trying to say, what was saying is that a guy who is Christian is going to be asked about Nassib, and when he says he doesn't agree with it, he will be attacked. Oh, 100% yes.
Mm-mm.
You do not have the right to express your religious beliefs. Let's just be honest. If we stay 100 about this, he does not have the right to express his religious beliefs.
No.
I also think that if somebody asks him the question, that's an a-hole move that you're setting. That's a setup. If somebody asks that question, you're setting a guy up to fail. If you know that somebody's openly Christian and you ask, you already know his stance, why are you asking the question? Because you want a certain result. You want a certain answer, and you want there to be a certain response to his answer. So if you ask a player a question specifically, there is a chance that you're setting that is a setup. Yes or no?
Oh, absolutely.
So what is,
here's a question that's a setup. Could the Texans have Carl Nassib on their team?
Oh, man, that is a setup. I mean, I would say yes, but I would say yes, but I don't know that, because if I'm being 100% honest here, I think there is. I don't think they run their team strictly on religious beliefs. I personally don't believe that. I don't think you can run a professional team based on that. Mm-hmm. But I do think that Cal McNair and Hannah, from what I understand, are, you know, faithful people who looked to Jack Easterby during some difficult times. And I think Jack, we already know what his background is. So I think I think it's a fair question.
Any reporter in Vegas or NFL reporter who wants to start a firestorm has a perfect candidate. Who exactly?
Derek?
Who is openly religious and the star player for that team?
Derek?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to test the waters and see what they can get out of it, you have your guy.
Well, and then you've got plausible deniability because he's the star player and the quarterback and leader of the team. Mm-hmm. I think Derek is shrewd enough to dodge those bullets.
Yeah. No, he...
And he may not... And even his answer may be an honest answer, but even if he was going to give an answer, I think Derek has been around long enough to know how to dodge those bullets. He's answered a lot of questions, been in a lot of press conferences. You go talk to an O lineman or a D lineman or maybe somebody, a cornerback, somebody who doesn't talk as much, a backup safety that you know to be the head of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes on a team. You go ask him, then you're setting him up. You're setting him up intentionally to fail. And I think that's not right.
Does Bovada have odds on which NFL player will ruin their life by making a comment?
Give it time.
Ryan Nassib.
We may eventually have it, yes. We may eventually have
Ryan.
It.
Ryan's his brother, Carl Nassib, excuse me.
Ryan Nassib is Carl Nassib's brother?
Yes.
Wait, who is Ryan Nassib?
Quarterback.
Remember? Yeah, remember?
Syracuse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was Carl's brother? Oh, my gosh. Yes. I didn't put two and two together. It was a tough-ass dude, Ryan Nassib.
Yeah, he was.
Like, he was competitive as a mother. I liked him. I liked him in college.
They look a lot alike,
too. Yeah, they were awful without him.
Wasn't he going to be here? Wasn't Ryan Nassib a candidate to play?
Ah, they do look a lot alike.
As a draftable player or a free agent?
Yeah. Was he... I forget why, but there was some reason I thought Nassib would be a candidate.
Oh, no, wait. I'm not thinking of Ryan Nassib. Yeah, Ryan Nassib stunk. What am I talking? Ryan Nassib stunk.
He's talking about Eric Dungy? Is that who you're thinking about?
I'm thinking of Dungy. Yeah. Ryan Nassib stunk. He was the one that was being blown up by everybody. Like, Ryan Nassib is the guy you got to have. Every year there's a guy like that.
This sounds like Nassib hate.
Duh. Ryan Nassib. Honestly, David Mills.
Davis Mills.
That Davis Mills, the guy who went to Kyle Lauletta from Richmond, Webb from Texas Tech.
Davis Webb.
From Cal.
Yeah.
Right? Who was Texas Tech to Cal and then went to the Giants. These are all these guys who catch late heat for some unknown reason. Nassib was the same way as Syracuse. I'm looking at his age. I'm like, 31? That's how I know him. He was the super, super duper overrated quarterback for Syracuse.
How can we get this to go viral? ESPN's 95's Lance Zierlein hates on Nassib,
but he stunk.
Instead, it's Ryan instead of Carl.
Hey, 56 ESPN 975-730-3776. If you would like to
wait until Tim Tebow gets asked about Nassib, says A-Bear. Tebow could be the leader. That's if he makes a team.
Even still, though, he's probably
making a team. Urban's going to just hook up his boy. You know that, right?
I don't know about that. I do know that he'll have the right answer, too, though. Tebow won't poo-poo Carl Nassib and homosexuality. I don't believe it. Tebow's too smart for that. He's got a whole television career to take care of after this. He's not going to ruin it all with one comment about Carl Nassib.
Nassib? I don't know a Nassib.
Yeah. Never heard it. I haven't heard the story. What is it? It's 8:57 on ESPN 97.5. It's time to talk about GiveMeTheVin.com. No John Clay Wolf? The people are disappointed. Of course, John Clay Wolf comes in usually later in the week. He makes his entrance later in the week. But John Clay Wolf is a guy who is going to buy your car for more than you are going to get anywhere else. The dealerships, the CarMax, any Texas Direct, whatever it is, he says, I'm going to beat him. And he does every single day. Now he's like, it's 1,000 cars every auction that he sells because he's the biggest, he's the best. It's when you have the biggest and the best, you're just going to get more for it. He will take pennies on the dollar at the auctions because he does the volume. So he's going to give you more, and he's guaranteeing it. If he can't beat CarMax's offer or the dealer's offer, he's going to send you $100. So go to GiveMeTheVin.com. If you're going to sell your car, know what it's worth. GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!